knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan!
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot, Dan, is that when people are listening to this, it will be opening day, my friend.
Of tennis?
Of baseball.
Oh.
Of Major League Baseball.
Sure.
And not just that, but it's opening in Korea.
Ooh.
So that means that the Dodgers and the Padres are playing tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Central
time. The Dodge Podge. Uh-huh.
But that means that when I wake up, I'm going to get to watch Shohei Ohtani.
Okay.
Right out the gate. First thing in the morning. Shohei!
He landed in L.A.?
He is in L.A.
I remember hearing about that giant contract, but then I forgot what team he plays for now.
The Dodgers. Okay. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Oh, buddy. The Dodgers are going to be a nightmare this year.
What else are we talking about? Talk to me about the depth chart. Talk to me about the closers. Talk to me about those middle-inning men.
So the Dodgers have spent, I think, $1 trillion.
Right.
To the point where it's like, money isn't real, is it? Because they got a Japanese.
Not for the Dodgers.
They've got the best Japanese pitcher in baseball. Won the Japanese Cy Young multiple years in a row. Has an ERA beyond reason. They signed him. Then they got Shohei Ohtani, who is the best hitter and the best pitcher.
Right.
But he can't pitch this year. Injured.
Oh, but can he hit?
Of course he can.
Okay.
And guess
what? Not that injured, apparently.
Guess what? In spring training, the man's hitting 500 with 1,000 sliders.
That's pretty good.
He's going to destroy.
That's pretty good.
He's going to destroy the world. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, and then Mookie Betts, who is a former NL and American League MVP, because that's how good he is. You know that name.
Right.
That's how good he is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Most of the rest of my baseball player names are going to come from my time playing fantasy baseball.
Right.
Many, many years ago.
Or
maybe
if
a
you
Clayton
recently
Kershaw.
Heard a fun name.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe a Johnny Damon.
Kershaw still around? I think he's starting on the injured list, maybe? Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
And then, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals, who won the World Series.
Ugh.
That
disgusting.
All my friends were so excited about.
Disgust
people like
me.
People like Aso Taguchi. And
I remember him.
Little Davey Dinger, Davey Eckstein.
Oh my God, I hated David Eckstein. David Eckstein is everything I hated. Every conversation that was like, "Oh, the Cardinals play the right way." It's like, "You white loving mother, I hate you people, David Eckstein, my
Jeff
ass.
Supon.
Get oh,
the soup.
Oh God, I hate the Cardinals. God, I hate them."
I guess Albert Pujols was the real star of that
team. Yeah, he was so great.
I'm going deep down the list before getting to the real hitters.
Yeah, I mean, he's maybe one of the greatest pure hitters he's one of the greatest pure hitters that ever lived, maybe the greatest.
And with the craziest stance.
Yeah.
Real deep stance.
Oof. He had big legs.
He did.
Yep.
He did.
It's all about that. All about the hips. Mm-hmm. It's all about turning the hips.
Sure.
Yeah. What's your bright spot?
You're making me want to play fantasy baseball again.
I think it's actually going to be a pretty good year for
it. I remember how much fun that was.
Yeah.
And I think it's because my friends all took baseball fairly seriously.
Sure.
And then I didn't know really anything about it.
Mm.
And so I wanted to win because they cared so much.
Right. You were the girlfriend at the poker tournament that all of the...
Tee-hee-hee.
Yeah, I just keep winning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I did... Man, this sucks.
What?
I think I won one year.
I bet you did.
But now it's been so long that I don't remember. I can't remember if I won or if I just thought it would be hilarious if I won.
You know what?
I think I won.
This is the problem is that I've long been against scrapbooks, but now here we are.
Yeah.
If you had kept that in a scrapbook, boom, you would know.
Or if we had all actually had like a trophy. That
would have been nice, yeah.
But I'm going to say that I won. That's my bright spot, that I won the fantasy baseball.
Not the traders?
No, the Traitors, the British one, the season two is available on Peacock. So I started watching a bit of that. That's fun. That's fun. We were talking before we started the show. I think it's a pale version of the Australian one.
Yeah.
I think the Australian is the best so far of the ones that I've seen.
Sure.
In terms of cast, in terms of dynamics, I think it's the best.
Yeah.
This is good, though. This is better than the first British season, for sure.
Oh, 100.
I found the first British season a little bit lackluster.
Yeah. But you gotta have people who are willing to embrace character dumb, you know? And the first season didn't have that.
You gotta embrace character dumb, and you gotta embrace dumb character.
That's basically reality TV. I think you just made it
Now, let's
work.
Talk about the challenge.
All right.
Dumb characters.
Dumb characters? Character
season
dumb.
Season 40 coming up. Should we do a podcast about
Absolutely.
It? Who knows? Probably not. We Probably a waste of time.
We gotta put something up.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. Put something up.
Okay.
And we didn't have an episode on Monday, and the reason for that, not too deep. Scheduling issue, not that you and I were too busy.
Nope.
But Alex was out of studio on Thursday and Friday of last week, so there wasn't a new episode after Wednesday. And I went through a bunch of 2004 episodes, and it is in a lull.
Oof.
He has that interview with the guy with the brain chip. You know, the one from the club Barcelona.
Yeah.
And that was groundbreaking. And then it's just a real dip.
Oof.
And I'm having a real tough time in 2004. So I couldn't find anything there and just didn't feel like forcing something. So here we are. We're back on Wednesday.
I you know, when I stopped to think about the disappointment, so in 04, there's a certain amount of excitement to the computer chip being the mark of the beast and everything, you know, because if it works, that's a huge technological advancement, right? You've got a computer chip that you can just pay for stuff with, right?
Well, for whom is it really exciting?
Right,
the conspiracy theorist or for the business person?
I think a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool whenever something new happens.
Right.
Yeah. And then the disappointment of nothing really happening from that.
Right.
Yeah.
For the business person and for the conspiracy theorist.
Everybody. Everybody just gets disappointed.
Yeah. And I think Alex is, in 2004, my assessment of it is he's let it slip fairly quick.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will come back up and it'll gain prominence periodically, but that interview was played off as it was the most a nefarious, evil thing that Alex has ever experienced, and then for a bit, what happened?
I do like that. That is, it is nice to just be able to just cut bait and time, move on.
Yeah. So on Sunday, Alex came back to studio.
Sure.
And it's guest heavy, and it's mostly about the media talking about Trump saying bloodbath. And
sure.
So we're going to talk about Monday's episode.
Right.
Which is the 18th, which is Alex is back in studio in earnest. He's there. And then he leaves about an hour and a half into the show.
That sounds That sounds right. I think he's doing great.
I think he is.
I think it's going and doing great.
I think he's having a wonderful time living his best life. And we'll talk about this episode. But before we do, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, I misheard Alex and thought he said he was going to start a hating show and take requests to do hatings on air and wasn't sure how that was going to be different from his normal show and didn't realize what he said until the new technical. Drop. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Hating paintings.
Yep.
Next, Ronan from Guelph still wants Dan's rap hip hop episode. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I don't remember what that means.
Me
now.
Neither.
but sure. Did I say that I was going to rap an entire episode? Because I hope not.
I don't know.
Next, Pankaroo, the little pink squid on the internet. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And hey, Dilly Dog, bro, get your Rock Astley on. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Miss Shelly Belly Jellybean. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So yeah, like I said, Alex just kind of leaves.
Just kind of leaves, or does he storm off?
No, there's no storm off. In fact, I was kind of surprised that he had left.
You were surprised he left?
Well, yeah, because about an hour and a half into the show, he goes to break, and he comes back, and there's a special report. And it's a video of Russell Brand saying nice things about Alex.
Sure.
And I'm like, well,
that's a special,
you know,
report. Yeah.
This will maybe take up a segment. Maybe he needed to go get a drink or something. Who knows? And then the next segment starts and it's still that. I'm like, all right, Alex is maybe just taking the rest of the hour off.
Uh-huh.
And then it comes back and it plays Eddie Bravo. Apparently Eddie Bravo did a podcast and Alex was on it.
Oh my God.
And so it plays that and then it goes to break. And then it restarts the Eddie Bravo.
Oh, thing. That's no good. Like, that's no up. Good. That's no
so
good.
So he's just gone. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah, we don't have a ton.
Have they ever considered just playing like an old episode? Just like a random-ass old
episode?
They
used to.
Yeah. Or would that, now that I think about it, would that be like War of the Worlds shit for these people where they'd be like, oh shit, it's happening now, but it's actually an episode from 2007.
You know what? I think that you could, the only problem is Alex's voice and audio quality.
That's
would probably
yeah.
tip you off that this, unless you were like, it sounds distorted because he's in his bunker.
It could be, yeah. You know, I mean, you can away anything, really.
Yeah. There is an inherent problem with him in terms of playing, like, past episodes that is like that. But what they right. would do sometimes in the past was they'd like cut together his best interviews.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
kind of what this is.
Yeah.
I guess. Because he Russell Brand said some nice shit and he was on Eddie Bravo's podcast.
Right.
Which maybe we have to go check out Eddie Bravo's podcast.
Oh boy.
See if they get into Flat Earth.
All right. I don't know. Maybe that'd be fun.
Yeah. And Alex being like, oh yeah, you're totally right. Totally right.
Maybe in a neutral Eddie Bravo playing field, you know, we get some fun stuff.
Maybe. I don't think so. I think it would still suck.
I know.
So here we are where we're starting off on this March 18th episode.
Sure.
There are 231 days, 12 hours, 59 minutes, 29 seconds to the most important election in world history. And, oh man, we have a lot of news and information to cover here today. Everybody's focused on the bloodbath hoax. We covered it a lot last night, but I'll hit some. It's really waking people up. Now, the corporate media is the enemy of the people, but really the big news is all these different EU leaders saying, nope, we want war with Russia.
Who?
Joining Macron. And then the mouthpiece, the Bilderberg Group, came out on CNN, Fareed Zakaria, and said it's time to send in troops against Putin. And again, CNN's not important, doesn't have any ratings. Nobody watches it, but it's kind of the inner house intercom system of the New World Order. And when Fareed Zakaria gets up there, makes a statement, it's directly out of the mouth of the globalist.
Yeah, so Fareed Zakaria did a piece on CNN about how sanctions don't work and aren't effective against Putin. The title of it was, quote, Fareed, Putin doesn't need sanctions, he needs military setbacks. In the video, he's mostly talking about how the U.S. needs to send more weapons and support, but towards the end of it, he does touch on Macron's comments involving sending troops. Zakaria says that it would be better than just allowing Putin's aggression to go unchecked, which is not a widely held position. But here you have a CNN commentator saying the thing that Alex is trying to pretend everyone is saying, so this person magically gets turned into the official mouthpiece of the globalists. Alex does this a lot. There have been many temporary official mouthpieces of the globalists. Whenever the thing someone is saying needs a little extra authority tacked onto it, we need to make this more important. Bill Maher gets his scripts from the globalists.
It is important.
He is the official CFR mouthpiece.
Who's okay? Do they sign the scripts? You know, like, does the guy who actually does the writing of the script have any kind of?
I mean, they have to have a
credit?
Union.
Yeah, I mean
there's going to be some sort of accreditation.
Totally.
And, yeah, no, I know how this stuff works.
If you write a particularly good script, like if you write such a good script, people don't even think that the globalist said it,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you get like a raise or can you get promoted?
I would assume so. I assume it's you know, talent based.
I would.
There's metrics on this.
Yeah, that's right. Of all places, hell is the meritocracy.
We have ways to gauge whether people caught on that this was the mouthpiece of the globalist or not.
Yes.
And you've tricked more people. Yeah, value yep. over replacement
yeah,
as
yeah.
a globalist speechwriter.
Yes, yes.
Is high.
What's the VORP on that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as for the bloodbath comment, I don't know if any of this is important.
Sure.
So Trump, here is his full, what he said.
Okay.
Quote, China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico, and they think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something, China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal. Those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us? No. We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's just going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. If you want to hear that the Chinese cars being sold cheaply from Mexico is being the least of the concerns that the country will be dealing with and the bloodbath that'll occur if Trump isn't elected, that's a fair reading of what he's saying. If you think that when he says it's going to be a bloodbath for the country, you know, if you hear that and you think when he says country, he means the U.S. auto industry, that's a defensible reading based on the context as well.
Sure.
There are many ways to interpret this.
Right.
And if you're concerned about Trump's intentions, you don't need this comment to illustrate the darkness of his plans.
Right.
But a lot of the media have latched onto this, and it's become a big deal with folks like Alex, insisting it shows how deceitful the media is. This is one of the keys to Trump's rhetoric and how this works, which is that he speaks like a fucking idiot, and his words become a Rorschach test that allow a bunch of different interpretations, and when you have your interpretation, you get to accuse everyone else of lying about context if they disagree.
Yeah.
An easy way to avoid this is if he didn't talk so much shit. If you cut that shit out,
right,
we wouldn't have to deal with this.
That would be, I mean, the solution at this point can't be him generated.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
No.
So honestly, I think the Washington Post's headline about this speech that Trump gave is a little more important. And that is, quote, Trump says some undocumented immigrants are not people. So in that same speech, talking about immigrants who have been accused of crimes, Trump said, quote, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. So I think maybe that's a little bit more important.
Agreed with that. I think that's the first time Trump and I agree on something. You are not allowed to say that because that is a horrible thing to say.
Well, he just says that it's a horrible thing to say because the radical left thinks it is.
Sure. Well, I agree. I believe they that are... the radical left does think it is, and it is.
So, I don't know. I think that they're making a lot out of this bloodbath thing.
Sure.
And by they, I mean the folks like Alex.
Yeah.
You know, they're taking the, you know, headlines that are like, Trump says it'll be a bloodbath he's not elected.
Right.
Which, that's just what Alex does.
Sure.
He plays games with headlines.
Totally.
You know, the media isn't wrong. They should, you know, maybe be a little bit more careful with headline writing, as is something that we always come up against.
Mm.
It's become a big deal for him, proving that the media is all full of shit.
Yeah. I mean, this one's so tough because it's like, is part of the attraction of Trump, and maybe let's put it in a better way, right? Isn't part of the attraction of Trump is that the media gets to print all these horrible, like, oh, Trump says everyone's going to die if people don't like Trump, you know, but they don't print like Trump says if you make bathtub gin upside down, you become the king, you know, like he says absolute utter nonsense all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine if we just completely framed away his violent rhetoric? And all that people were left with was just the absurd
silly
thing.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like, how do you write, how do you paint a story of overthrowing the Capitol on the guy who's like, I don't know, but I stole a bunch of money from the Cubans when I was 9. Like, what are you talking about, man?
I don't know. I mean, I think you could come into a point where people would say you're, you know, whitewashing,
sure,
by ignoring the dangerous stuff.
Sure.
I don't know.
But in another way, aren't you just rewriting a story that he has no control over? You know, it is like I understand that ethical, like, oh, we need to report things accurately, but at the same time, you know, listen to this shit, like, oh, it's a bloodbath, everyone's gonna die. Like, okay, all right.
Well, I mean, if the headline in the paper was everyone's gonna die if
right.
Trump isn't reelected,
right.
then obviously that would be a problem.
Sure.
But so I look at this and I think that there are a number of fair readings of it.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I think it's kind of a losing game to get involved too deeply in any of them is because you can recognize these different readings.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I think is interesting is that Alex's reading of it is exactly wrong. He is outside of the range of things that can be accurate.
So Trump openly says, I'll put 100% tariff on Chinese electric cars. You try to bring them in through Mexico, try to build them in Mexico and protect the auto industry. It'll be a bloodbath. You don't want to do it. I told Xi Jinping it's a bloodbath. And they sit there and take it out of context and just show him saying bloodbath because they are out to get you. I know we already know that, but this is absolutely out of control, ladies and gentlemen.
So there's a lot of defensible positions in terms of how you interpret that bloodbath comment. But interestingly, what Alex is doing is not one of them. There's no reading of Trump's words that justifies the interpretation that Trump was warning Xi that if he put those tariffs onto Chinese cars coming in from Mexico, that would be a bloodbath. This highlights something that I think is important to understand. Alex is making an argument that the media is taking Trump out of context and doing so for malicious purposes. I'm not totally convinced that is the case, but let's stipulate that that's correct. Even if it is the case that the media is misrepresenting this comment, Alex is doing so even more egregiously. Alex is tacking on a whole storyline to make the comments less inappropriate, and I suspect a part of that is rooted in the fact that Alex totally thinks that there will be a bloodbath if Trump loses, and he's pretty defensive about it, and is preparing to call anything that might happen a false flag.
Yeah.
So, I think that part of the game is a little bit...
Yeah, you know what? If you stop, because I understand all the arguments people are making, but if you just stop for a second and pull back and then go... Maybe the problem isn't that we're interpreting bloodbath correctly or incorrectly. The problem is that you could interpret bloodbath as a literal bloodbath, and that would be totally reasonable to assume because he's already done the thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And he talks like that a bit.
Yeah. See, it's that it could be interpreted that way. That is a problem before it even begins.
Right. You know, and I think that there are a number of things in life they say that, you know, when you cheat on a spouse or something like that.
Sure.
That's not a decision that you made. It's 10 decisions back.
Sure.
That
yes.
led you down this road
right.
that got you to there.
Right.
We are 10 decisions deep into the issue where it's like, if we have a presidential candidate, former president,
right,
who tried to overthrow the government,
right,
who is running again, who you can interpret him saying, there's going to be a bloodbath if I don't win.
As a literal bloodbath.
We are 10 decisions deep.
Too late.
It is too far.
Yeah.
So overall, this Trump guy is pretty cool.
I've seen positive...
I think that's what we're getting to.
I think at this point, like, every time I read a headline or an article or something that's like, people are outraged by what Trump said about something, it's like, we should just assume that he thinks the worst thing that you can think of.
Mm-hmm. There's and no maybe reason something to be, weird on top of it.
Totally. There's no reason to be outraged or surprised. It's way past that. Just assume, like, if it's worse than you can imagine, that's what he thinks.
Well, see, this is coming from you, somebody who sure. is obviously a hashtag never Trump fella. But what we need to do sure. is we need to listen to the words... of people who support him.
Right.
Now, I will say that Alex in the past has been on air crying about how he would die for Trump.
Sure, God King.
There's been some pretty severe, like, he's known his whole life about the globalists.
Right.
His entire life has been, up till this point, preparing to do battle with the globalists. There's been a lot of bullshit that has been pretty exaggerated, hero-worshipping.
Wasn't he a sleeper agent for a while?
He was.
I believe he was a
Back
sleeper
when he
agent.
Back was supporting the Clintons
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I believe he was a sleeper agent.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Tone has changed a little.
Well.
Now.
I think deservedly so.
here is Alex cautiously supporting Trump.
Okay.
Also, Trump is having big trouble raising money because... he's getting on average $50 donations. And all the big globalist billionaires, except for a few people that aren't globalists that are billionaires, are piling on to destroy what they see as a champion of the people. You can say what you want about Trump, but the globalists hate his guts because he actually tried to be president and tried to do things he thought was good for the country. He certainly made mistakes, but he's a good man. He's a strong man. And those that have supported him at a high level, like myself, have been persecuted dearly for it. And contrary to me cutting and running, I support Trump more than ever because of the persecution. Call it pigheadedness if you'd like. But at the same time, that does not mean that I'm in a cult and that I slavishly defend every policy he's involved in or the things that he does. He has been making a lot of moves lately endorsing neocon globalists that hate his guts. And I know the inside baseball, who the advisors are that are telling him this. And so I really see our mission here as trying to get Trump back into office, but being very aggressive when he does things that I think, and that my expert guests think, and that the listeners think is wrong. I think we really have a consensus here on air dealing with that. But I just wanted to stake that out and be very, very clear, because there's some cultic Q-like adoration for Trump that he's a god, he's perfect, he can't make any mistakes, everything's 3D chess. And that is not what's going on here.
Oh, no, it's not. Look, Trump's just fucking dumb, and he keeps getting tricked by people. And come on, what are you going to do?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is not the tone, quite different. Very almost like, I regret this, but this is where I'm at. Keeps getting fooled. His advisors tell him bad shit, and he does it. I got to make excuses for just about everything.
Everything.
He tried to kill all of us with a vaccine.
He did. That should be disqualifying.
Much like Elon Musk shadow banning Alex should be disqualifying, again. But all this stuff doesn't really matter.
No.
But part of that's because it's not real.
Right.
And you know it's not real.
Right.
Because if Alex really did believe that the vaccine was a biological weapon that was meant to kill people, it does not matter if you intentionally did Operation Warp Speed,
right,
or if people tricked you into it. You are too much of a liability.
Yeah.
I can no longer support you.
Yeah.
If he actually meant any of this shit, it would be so disqualifying.
Because you got tricked into it.
Right.
That means you could get tricked into doing anything.
Anything up till that point and maybe further.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because one of the things you got tricked into doing was murdering millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big trick.
It is. And if you're Elon Musk and your whole thing has been, I love the wild, wild west open of the internet, and in reality what you're doing is shadow banning Alex, that means everything is probably a lie.
It means he's lying to you.
Right.
Yeah.
But none of this is fucking serious for Alex anyway. It's all a charade.
You know, I think this is an important lesson that I wish I could have learned, but nobody really could explain it.
Hmm.
Don't play on the edges.
Hmm.
You know, like, if you get into a situation where you're saying, well, and it's not that I'm in a cult, all right? You're in a bad situation.
You're probably making up for cultish things you did in the past.
Totally.
Or you're trying to get away from crying about how you die for Trump on air a couple years ago.
You're in a bad place.
Right.
Stay away from the edges. Mm-hmm. Just stay away from it. Don't, you know what? Even if you support Trump, be like, hey, I support Trump, but you know what? I don't trust any famous people, period. The end. You know, like, that's just, don't get into the edges where you're like, I bet this guy knows everything.
Well, I think that that's probably one of the lessons of Alex's career.
Sure.
You know, safe territory when you're just screaming about Ron Paul screwing over, getting screwed over in New Hampshire.
Yep.
Totally safe territory. But now you got all this baggage you got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's no good.
No good.
So Trump is being persecuted by the courts,
sure.
All that. You know,
yeah.
Letitia James in
New
York.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the tide is turning, though.
Also, I called it a turning point last night, and I want to go back over it more this evening. Letitia James' plan to persecute New York firefighters for their speech backfires because they have a right when she comes to their union, their event, to boo her and to chant Trump. Well, she wanted them fired. She wanted their pay cut. She wanted them persecuted. Isn't that an indictment of what a pig-like creature she is? That Soros witch who, I guess, metaphorically flew into the meeting on a broomstick.
He later says that Fonnie Willis also flew in somewhere on a broomstick,
sure.
Which is probably a coincidence.
Sure.
So what happened here was that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, attended a promotion ceremony for the New York Fire Department's new chaplain, Pamela Holmes. Because she presided over the investigation into Trump, some of the firefighters in attendance booed her and heckled. In response, a union called the Uniformed Fire Officers Association announced that the behavior was inappropriate for the ceremony, which was about their chaplain, was being held at a church, and wasn't political in nature. And so they were going to try and, like, talk to people about how that was inappropriate.
Yeah. I mean, I respect your political opinions or don't respect them, but Jesus Christ, man, not now.
It's just a church.
Give it an hour. Give it an hour. We'll all still be here.
There is also no sign that I was able to find that Letitia James had anything to do with the union's actions or
anything. She didn't hunt people down for sport?
I don't believe so.
Did she recently purchase a long-range rifle?
That I can't. New York, I'm not sure if there's a...
You can't prove it.
I've been told there are no guns in New York. Alex has said it's a no-gun zone. So I think that you probably didn't. That's my sense about it.
No guns in New York. That's right.
No. So Alex is in thought about his enemies.
Sure.
And he spends a bit of time talking about how people are possessed by demons.
Okay.
But not in the way that you necessarily think that they are.
Do you mean like they do things demonically or they make noises or
not always.
How are they possessed?
Sometimes they're just kind of boring.
Interesting.
But that said,
the opposite.
Also been too nice in many levels and realized that when I am a classical liberal, like a Thomas Jefferson, that in the modern communication system, that only aids the enemy's operations. And I'm going to explain coming up. This is very, very important information. And I've also tracked everything they're doing is to show us things that in our epigenetic history didn't exist to completely disconnect us from our ancestors and our programming God gave us. But it's also preparing us for the new system it's bringing in. And it basically goes along the lines of They Live. And that's what it is. You know, the people, when you put the glasses on, aren't physically a Walking Dead space alien, but their spirit is. And it's like Avatar. There is a thing jacked into them, and at the moment it finally takes over, they just become robots. You know, most of these people that are influenced by Satan and his minions, his pomps, his pimps, don't have kind of the Linda Blair model operating in them. That's just one phase to terrorize and harass scare people. That's just one mode it's got. It's more like an NPC that has no morals and just greedily runs around following whatever stimulus it's given to believe that it's going to get some power over somebody. But it's not human. And I've studied history. I've studied the ancients. I've also talked to a lot of people that have worked in secret projects and things like that, but I've also experienced it myself that there is a higher plane to this one. In fact, there's multiple higher planes. Just as there are 9 circles of hell, there are 12 dimensions just within this framework of this universe.
All right, man. So, yeah, they're not the Linda Blair model.
I'm sorry, was it established that there were 9 circles of hell? Was that was that definitively proven, or was that just a metaphor?
No.
Proven. I'm sorry, I just wanted to be clear that he said, just like there are 9 circles of hell, as though that was common knowledge.
Dante
that
went there.
We've all just accepted.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Duh.
Okay.
Of course.
I just wanted to be clear that just like how there are 9 circles of hell, so there are at least 12 dimensions.
At least.
That we know of.
We've been proven.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there are different models of demon.
I was wondering about that. Yep. I was wondering about that. I appreciate
that. Not everybody is the Linda Blair model that's trying to scare people. I would say that no one is the Linda Blair model except for people in movies. But
okay,
some people are just NPCs
who
walk around and live their lives. And they don't feel the things that I do because those are the only things that are real.
I feel like you understand that the reason that we have like models and stuff is because of limited resources. I feel like the devil having infinite resources, or at least imaginary ones, should not have to have like, okay, listen, I don't have time to be mocking up new people every single go around.
Here's where you're wrong.
What, is he busy?
Apple has near infinite resources.
Well,
is there an iPhone 12 and an iPhone 1? Why? Progress.
You know what? Fair enough.
Demons make progress.
You know what? You've argued me
down.
The
Linda Blair model is a blunt instrument demon.
Can I Can I just think of the Linda Blair model as more of like an economic? If you just throw up money everywhere, then everything will work sooner or later. Yeah.
There is the Chicago School of Business. Right. There's the Linda Blair model.
Linda Blair model. Yeah.
I also like to imagine that that's what the devil calls it. You know, like, this is my Linda Blair model.
Sure.
And it predates,
there was an unveiling. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody came in and was like, holy shit, you got to see this. Boom, it's my Linda Blair model. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, so yeah. People are demons.
People are demons. NPCs.
And Alex is too nice about this somehow or something. That's unfathomable.
I think the idea of actually, like, knowing and coexisting with a literal, malevolent, infinite demon creature, I would panic a lot more. I feel like I would be more terrified all the time.
Yeah, no, that is kind of the contradiction, is right? That Alex's frequent breakdowns and, like, storming off set and what have you, that stuff would make sense if it happened every day.
Yeah.
Based on the Lovecraftian horror
demons
that he is privy to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so maybe instead of making fun, we should compliment him on how well he keeps it together.
I mean, if I knew there were demons, I would have changed a lot more of my life. I would not continue to do the same radio show.
If I knew that there were demons, one thing that I would do is reconsider my primary assumptions.
That would be a good
around to make sure I hadn't gotten something wildly wrong somewhere.
Right. Because somewhere along the line, there was probably a hitch if you suddenly discover demons.
Yeah. And they're everywhere, and they jump in and out of people at the grocery store, and sometimes
sometimes there was a hitch somewhere.
Yeah, I'd say so. So Fareed Zakaria, as we know, speaks for the globalists.
Sure.
We don't just have Macron and all these defense chiefs over in Europe saying we've got to double down, we've got to go to full military confrontation, we got to send troops in. The mouth of the New World Order, Fareed Zakaria, who, when you hear him speak, he's one of the only journalists let into the Club of Rome, Bilderberg, CFR, White House. When you hear him talk, that's communication not to the general viewers of CNN. He goes on once a week to communicate to the underlings what the current orders are. And we'll play a clip of him in a moment that seems all jolly about, you know, Russia and how things are going.
Doesn't.
And he says the answer isn't sanctions. It's decisive military setbacks. So we need to give Ukraine any weapon they want. Any weapon. That means nuclear. And every word is parsed when he says this. We need to give Ukraine any and every weapon. And we need to commit to send troops in direct conflict with Russia. So it's not just Macron shooting his mouth off. It is the mouthpiece of these people.
It is now officially all of the most powerful people in the world because Fareed Zakaria has said things that Alex is even taking a little bit off.
Yeah.
Like, he did say that we should send weapons, but Alex is making up that means nuclear weapons.
Right.
He does say that sending troops in is like a crazy decision, but is it better than allowing the aggression to stand? But that doesn't mean I support sending troops in, necessarily.
I'm just going to throw this out there. If you're fighting a defensive war, I feel like nuclear weapons are the last thing you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, like, you don't want to shoot them on your house.
Right.
That's where you live.
Right.
You use nuclear weapons on somebody else's house.
True.
Yeah.
It becomes slightly less of a deterrent.
Sure. If you blow yourself up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although
it would keep them out of Ukraine, it would keep everybody out of the Ukraine.
It would have a dispersing effect.
Sure.
So yeah, Alex is making a lot out of Fareed Zakaria doing a 5-minute video.
Yeah,
and I do think it would be funny. I don't have the time or necessarily the access to his archives to do this.
Yeah.
But it would be funny to go back and take Fareed Zakaria's interviews and pretend they were missives to the globalists.
Yeah.
And see how trivial some of that shit is. And I don't know. And just pretend that this is actually all coming from the mouth of the globalists.
Yeah.
I think it would probably look pretty silly.
Yeah. What we need is a time machine that can give us, like, we can bring bits to Alex in different eras and get his different eras reaction to different bullshit so we can contain it in our own space, if that makes sense.
Sure.
There's 12 dimensions, obviously, so we can figure out one of them to get there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I like your positive attitude.
Yeah. All we need
is
a new model of demon. Time travel demon.
Yeah, what would that be?
So
the Jules Verne model. Yeah.
He's a demon.
He's a demon.
That's an old model of demon, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So Alex, thinking a bit about Putin.
Sure.
Of course, there was the election. sure. I don't know why you laugh.
I just appreciate the you know, like, I love journalism, and I love the way that they have ethics and all that stuff. But when you are a person who's writing, like, Putin won the election, don't you feel shitty about yourself? Like, I understand you're writing something technically accurate, but also you're a liar. Like, you get that, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Well, I think that some there in the government of Russia may call it an election.
Sure. See? It's accurate.
And they won it,
see,
whatever it is.
It is an accurate thing that you are saying, and yet you're lying.
So
strange.
Alex, the champion of election fraud, wherever it may exist.
Indeed.
Thinks it's a wonderful, totally fair election.
Great,
everything is cool above board. Putin's the most popular man who's
obviously.
Ever lived. So he's thinking about some of these things. Some of these topics are coming up. And he decides to play a clip of Putin, presumably talking about his election win. But I'm going to play this. This is a little bit longer of a clip.
Okay.
And I think that it's fascinating how it's very clear that Alex has no idea what this clip is.
Of course, Putin won by 80%+ yesterday. We're going to play a clip first of some of what he said when the poll numbers came in with 90% of the vote counted that he'd won. This is what some of what Putin had to say last night.
Stevens from NBC News. Mr. President, journalist Evan Gershkovich spent this election in prison. Boris Nadezhdin, who opposes your war in Ukraine, wasn't allowed to stand against you. And Alexei Navalny died in one of your prisons during your campaign. Mr. President, is this what you call democracy?
Господин президент, американская телекомпания NBC, Кир Симмонс. Мой вопрос. Американский журналист Эван Гершкович среди многих, кто провел...
Гершкович was one of the people who spent this time in prison. Надеждин, who was fighting against the war, was not allowed to participate in the elections, and Навальный died in prison during your campaign. Do you think this is democracy? This is life. If Mr. Nadezhny took part in this elections, this is or did not take part in these elections, that means it was the result of his unsatisfactory work or preparation. Maybe he should have avoided any mistakes of providing the applications. As far as I understand, this was the problem, that he did not get additional or sufficient votes to take part in the campaign. As for Navalny, yes, he passed, and this is always a sad event, but unfortunately we had some other cases where people died in prison. Did you not have these events in American prisons? You did, and many times. And by the way, maybe it will be slightly unexpected. A few days before Navalny passed, some colleagues told me, not the members of the administration, some other people told me that there is an idea to exchange Mr. Navalny for some people who are imprisoned in Western countries. You can believe me or not, but the person who spoke with me, he said, before the end of the sentence, he said, yes, I agree. Unfortunately, what happened, happened. But this happens. So you can't do anything about this.
The reason I played that clip is Do you see Joe Biden getting questions like that?
I'm sorry,
do you
what?
See that? Do you see Joe Biden getting questions like that?
That's why you played that clip?
That doesn't match with how he introduced the clip.
Amazing.
Almost as if he just had a clip of Putin. He thought it was going to be a celebrating his victory or giving a speech about the election. Turns into a, hey, you jail your critics and your main opponent died. What's up?
I, after the Tucker interview, mm-hmm. whenever Putin looked like an idiot, it was disappointing. You know, that's some real supervillain shit right there. Mm. To bald
face. C'est la vie.
Hey, I don't know. You believe me or not, we were going to let him go. Uh-huh. Swear to God. Yep. Swear to God. We were going to exchange him. I totally didn't absolutely order his death because of that.
Because
there was no way I was ever going to let him out.
Hey,
no.
That's
no,
life.
No. Believe me or not. It is what it is. You know, we all wake up every morning. We could all get hit by a car. You mm-hmm. never know.
C'est la vie.
You could. If you ask me that question again, you will be hit by a car. I've been just saying that. I'm just saying.
How do you say life is very fragile in Russian?
Yeah, exactly. That was some serious fucking, hey, listen, accidents happen.
Hey,
you know,
what do you do?
I don't know what to tell you. You know, you pay your stuff and then you don't get an accident. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you.
Uh-huh.
That was great. That was real great.
But does Joe Biden have to deal with questions like that?
I don't know how you deal with that response. If that's your reaction to that, I don't know what to say.
I think Alex is just trying to like, this is the way I maybe should have framed the clip.
Yeah.
Because I didn't prepare.
I guess.
So spinning out of that, he decides to get into a bit of a pro-Putin roundup of headlines.
Sure, now's a good time. Some of the headlines. After that.
Putin wins fifth term as Russian president with 87% of the vote. And mainline analysts, you heard Fareed tell the truth, Putin is that popular. He didn't have to steal the election. People are the power in Russia, says Putin. Next hour I want to read his speech. U.S. is not a democracy, Putin. U.S. looks to interfere in Russian elections, ex-CIA officer. Russian forces liberate another settlement in Ukraine.
Yeah, this is quite pro. I just find it troubling that the conspiracy community has lost the thread.
Yeah.
You know, the correct position is being opposed to Putin, and it's being opposed to Elon Musk.
Yeah.
But both of those people are figureheads that drive the particular types of bigotry
sure.
that underlie someone like Alex's business model and his worldview.
Yeah.
So you have this bigotry and this, you know, a lot of it is xenophobia, a lot of it is transphobia. Those things are so much more important than conspiracy itself.
Yeah. 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 It is like a weird total realignment in the past 5 years. It's the past 10 years. I would say the past 10 years has seen, from 2014, who the globalists are and their goals inverted in 2024 to now whatever it was that I said they were doing in 2014 and that was evil, I'm totally on board with now, as long as it's my guy doing it.
Sure.
You know, I'd like, oh, listen. Totalitarian government, awful, terrible. Love Putin, love Russia. I think it's great. I think it's a great place to live. But, I think it's a great place to stay. They should stay over there. I should live here.
But don't you think it kind of always would have been that, but there wasn't an opportunity for it? You know, like, if Ron Paul had become president and had just started acting like a wild, like solitary executive.
Sure.
And doing all kinds of shit that Alex liked.
Right.
His fear of federal overreach and all that stuff would have gone away pretty fast.
Probably. I mean, it's not like it hasn't played out in American history multiple times in the past.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, this is a regular thing for us. Everybody likes to believe Trump is brand new. Regular thing.
So we got some more pro-Russia headlines here.
Yeah.
And if you pay attention to these, the first one kind of contradicts the last one.
We're not at war with Russia, Scholz tells Macron. Olaf Scholz. NATO says fighter jets can carry nuclear weapons as tensions with Russia reach breaking point. Yeah, when you load the hydrogen bombs on the jets, instead of an ICBM or a launch from a submarine, so it's 5-10 minutes... Now it's 2 minutes, 1 minute. It's right on the border, takes off, goes up to Mach 2, drops the bomb, goes straight up, gets out of there. Massive escalation. Former UK spy chief, we're at war with Russia. France mold boots on the ground in Ukraine for months. Russia claims it's killed 6,000 foreign fighters in Ukraine, including 491 Americans. Yep, that's true. Germany prepares to bring back the draft.
So that clip is less than a minute, and it begins with Alex saying that Olaf Scholz, the chancellor of Germany, has said that they're not at war with Russia, and right. then it ends with a headline that Germany's planning to bring back the draft.
Right.
Which is strange.
Yeah.
One might say that there's a confusing lack of coherence between the hastily thrown together stack of paper that Alex is using as a prop here. Also, the Russian claims that they've killed 6,000 foreign mercenaries, including 491 from the U.S., has not been verified. It's been claimed by Putin's government, though, so to Alex, it needs no verification. Sure. And even if there are 491 American people who were fighting there, that doesn't mean that the government was fighting there.
Yeah.
They weren't U.S. troops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what to tell you beyond those. Clearly, if they're mercenaries, they went there for money.
True.
That's how it works.
Or,
right? I mean, you can. It's a cause for sure. You know, but you are being paid to fight and kill. So if you die, that's kind of on you too.
It doesn't implicate the U.S. government.
No. The U.S. government did not send you over there. Cash did,
and it's not confirmed.
Right. That's also an issue.
But Alex, that's confirmed.
Ah, man.
So Alex gets onto another headline.
Yeah.
And this was in hindsight. See what I'm doing. Is I'm now able to work backwards.
Sure.
So I know that he ends up leaving.
Yeah. And, right. So when's the moment?
And I get to reverse engineer a tiny bit.
Right.
And I think that this narrative and this headline is the beginning of the end.
Right.
But you could never have told.
This is what spirals the.
I think it does.
Okay.
All right. Coming up in the next few days, because I want to do more research on it because it's so big. The British government with their top universities and government institutions has put out a report called Absolute Zero, where they don't want to just have net zero increase in carbon or lower it to a previous state. They want to get rid of all carbon, which humans are. And I was going over this report today, and it's so big, literally and figuratively, that I want to make a big deal about this, but I also don't care if other people like Tucker Carlson or anybody else goes and does it first. I just want to get this information out. It's so nightmarish that it's just hard to describe what they're doing, other than total feudalism, the end of civilization as we know it.
Yeah, so I think, first of all, absolute zero is not a new concept in any sense of the word. It doesn't mean getting rid of all carbon. It just means a goal of zero greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
This is not some kind of new nefarious thing. But I think that Alex might have seen it somewhere, seen the word somewhere. Yeah. Maybe there's a report that he's actually talking about that he just like didn't really look into.
Yeah.
But was like, this is going to be scary.
Yeah.
And then he decided to get his toe into the water and he's like, I don't really know what to say about this other than it's scary. So I'm going to do some more research on this and then do a big report on it.
I mean, boy, when you start saying things like they want to get rid of all carbon,
it's possible.
And then you like you got to be much clearer on what you think carbon is, because if you think it is what I think it is, you have just described them removing an element of the universe.
A big one.
From the universe.
They want to get rid of carbonara.
You can't do that because of the Earth. It's us. It's all of it.
Right, but that's because they are not carbon-based life forms. They're demons.
But even if they weren't, there's...
don't care.
Listen, I understand. I mean, like, maybe there's a silicon-based... I get that. I get that, but it's not like that they don't, like, the periodic table of elements is just, like, uninterested in each other.
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
Fuck carbon.
Fair enough. I didn't know that this was the prevailing thought among silicon-based life forms.
It is.
But now that I see it, it does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of racists.
Bunch of demon
bunch
molds.
Bunch of demon people,
models.
Yeah.
Silicon model demons.
There you go. Yeah. Not Linda Blair. That's carbon-based.
There is a lot of carbon
going
on.
We're figuring out a lot right now.
We're figuring out jack shit. But I think that Alex had nothing, and he got a little ahead of himself. And I think that they might have given him some unsure footing, because he gets on to another topic.
Yeah.
And this topic is based on a image that he saw on Twitter.
That's not enough.
It is.
Not enough.
It is, apparently.
It's not enough, dude.
Yeah, it is.
No.
and I meant to repost this on X, on my X account, Relox Jones. I didn't. So one of you guys that has access to my X account, please post this and just say, very important information to understand the future, or very important information to understand why the globalists are pushing an anti-white agenda. So the minute I saw this on my phone, my eyes are still pretty good, but I couldn't read it on a phone. As soon as I saw radical groups raiding each other, or racial groups raiding each other, I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to see, because I couldn't read white respondents like we can now because it's blown up.
Just real quick, what Alex is describing is prejudice.
Right.
But I said, I could see the dots, and I said, I bet that'll be white people. So I clicked on it, and I magnified it, and I printed it, as you see right here. And sure enough, what I instantly thought it would be, it was true. This is the American National Election Studies time series study, post-election data. So this is a major study on asking white, black, Asian, and Hispanic respondents their view of other racial groups. Now, for radio listeners, I'll narrate this because you can't see it. But again, I'll post it on Relox Jones right now. So you'll see it there. Notice white respondents, because they don't want to be seen as racist or bad, because they're being taught they're the bad people. They're being taught to never make a decision, never discriminate on food or on energy or on policies, because the West is seen as white. You want to discredit the idea of the West. The whites all voted the same on their view of white people, black people, Hispanics, and Asians. Almost identical numbers, and I've got the breakdowns here. Because, okay, how do you answer this question? Oh, everybody's the same. I don't see anybody as different. Now, what the globalists want is to get whites to vote like everybody else did and see themselves as the devil. Okay? That's what they want. So, and notice, whites did rate themselves as the worst group. So whites are learning well to hate themselves and have self-loathing. So whites did rate themselves as the bad people, but only by 10 percentage points.
Oh, my. So this is a years-old study that's getting some play in the white victimhood-fueled social media accounts. So I guess Alex saw some dumb posted on Twitter, and now it's in the news again.
Sure.
So there are a series of four graphs that Alex is looking at. This is what he's working with.
Right.
Each represents a rating of feelings of warmth. The question that people were asked, which Alex never discussed.
I was going to say, before you tell me about the results of something,
sure,
you should tell me what they are.
Well, we know Alex's characterization of what he feels about these graphs.
Sure.
We don't know what the numbers mean.
That's what
or
I need
the
to
question.
Know for that to be relevant to me.
Right.
In any,
not
in
to,
any meaningful
not to an
way.
InfoWars listener.
That's a fair point.
So the people were asked, quote, please enter the rating number in the number box. Ratings between 50 degrees and 100 degrees means you feel favorable and warm toward the group. Ratings between 0 degrees and 50 degrees mean you don't feel favorable toward the group and that you don't care too much for that group. You would rate the group at 50 degree mark if you don't feel particularly warm or cold toward the group.
Sure.
According to these graphs, yeah, white respondents averaged out to an approximate warmth rating of 70% or 70 for
degrees
all groups.
For all groups, sure.
The other groups had some variability, but no group rated any other group lower than about 62. All groups reflected a general favorability and warm feeling towards each other.
It's really just a few of us who are terrible racists that convince mainly normal people to do weird shit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So more importantly, I'm certain that I've heard Alex cover this exact thing in the past.
Yeah.
It's a study that people have been discussing since 2021. So the only reason for Alex to make a big deal out of this is that he saw a tweet and it made him mad and it got a fair amount of attention and engagement. So he wants to roll around in that muck.
Yeah.
Also, Alex is lying. The white respondents had a slightly warmer feeling toward white people than the other groups.
Yeah.
He's just making up that 10% thing because it fits more nicely with the racist way he's trying to exploit the optics of this graph.
Yeah.
Just looking at it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's no good.
Nah.
No, no. That is, it is kind of a fundamental flaw with graphs. If people don't even read the stuff anymore and they're just like, oh, well, Alex said it looks like this. So.
There is at no point a even conversation about what this is measuring.
Right, 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 right.
On Alex's part.
Like I didn't hear the word axis used one time.
No. Warmth? Nope.
Nope.
Nope. There's also not a 10%, recognition.
Not degrees. There's percent.
There's not even a recognition that this is like four questions out of hundreds that are on this thing. It was not a study meant to design, like, just to determine what racial groups view each other as. It's ridiculous.
It would be a very specific and very strange survey if that was the only set of questions.
It'd be short.
Yeah. I would appreciate that.
So Alex has a lot of feelings about this, though.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Now, blacks saw themselves as the best. Hispanics saw themselves as the best. And Asians, when stacked up against whites, found themselves the best as well, but not by a large margin. Now let's look at black respondents. Well, white people are the absolute worst, and this is not all black people, but it's almost the majority. This is the brainwashing. White people are the worst thing on earth. Black people are the best. They're almost perfect. Blacks saw Hispanics as super bad, but not as bad as the devil over here, the white devil. So, actually, the numbers, black respondents saw whites as good and saw.
Oh, my God.
Now, let's look over here.
What just happened?
Hispanic respondents. The point is that all of this brainwashing is doing nothing but creating division.
See, I think you can see at the end there that Alex has confused himself because he has no idea what these pictures he's looking at actually depict. Or what any of this was, what the questions were, what this even means. His narrative hit a little bit of a snag, and he confused himself, and he just short-circuited. That was weird.
Yeah.
Also, this wasn't a survey asking those people who they thought were the best. Alex is completely mischaracterizing the survey, because doing so plays better to the white victimhood fears that he and his audience are animated by. None of these groups responded with negative feelings about any other group. Based on the averaging of all this out.
Yeah.
Who knows if some individuals who took it
sure,
did.
Sure, there's fucking Gran Torino asshole.
I'm sure.
Clint Eastwood's around, like, yeah, I hate everybody. Okay, you
averaged
messed up
out
the survey. Yeah.
The absolute bottom score any group gave any other group is over 60, which indicates feelings of warmth and favorability. Alex is depriving this of any context because the context plays counter to his ideological positioning and just doesn't work. But that was troubling at the end. I think if you really had to distill down what's going on, Alex just doesn't have any information at his disposal.
Right.
He's making up a bunch of details about what this means, how much hatred is behind this. He's saying things like, it's not all black people, but it's close to the majority.
Sure, sure,
what does that
sure.
even mean? How are you taking this from that?
All black people, did not all black people do the survey? Did almost all black people do the survey?
It's a ridiculous level of shit that Alex is building onto this.
Yeah.
And when he looks back at the graph, there's nothing there. There's nothing for him to really work with. And he knows nothing. So he just kind of like shuffles along.
Oh, my God.
Because he's confused.
That's just so fucking...
And then he just completely loses where he's even going, talking about.
Yeah.
Big corporations want to control society. I mean, do you think black people came up with Advil commercials on TV, but also Advil in caps at stores, where it says black people feel more pain than everyone else, buy Advil and save the black people? That's just the establishment trying to wrap themselves in a black skin. And it's very, very sad. And I'm going to look at these numbers more and really try to give you my take on what they mean, because it's all very, very confusing. But at the end of the day, society and civilization is on the cusp of irrevocable collapse. And I almost feel like I'm up here rearranging chairs on the Titanic. In fact, I don't almost feel like that. I really do. And I don't want to just sit up here and commentate on the destruction of civilization.
I'm sorry?
I want to try to stop this and try to do something.
And then he leaves.
Yeah. Right.
In hindsight, listening to that, you're like, oh, yeah, he's probably going to leave.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a blow-up or anything.
No, if I hadn't known that he was going to leave, I wouldn't have expected him to leave. But since you told me he was going to, I was like, oh, makes perfect sense.
Right.
He is absolutely short-circuiting. He's breaking down. His brain is no longer functioning.
Mm.
No idea what's going on.
Because, and I think there's some truth to what he's saying.
Sure.
And that is that he is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Really racist chairs on a racist sinking boat.
Yeah.
That is... there's a moment of clarity almost that comes through with that. He's like looking at this graph. He doesn't understand what the fuck it's talking about. He just knows that there is a way he's supposed to report this,
mm-hmm.
and it's meaningless.
Yep.
I think that I mean, that's got to be tough when you owe $1 billion.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah.
I imagine so. It's tough for most of us recognizing the meaninglessness of the universe, and most of us don't owe $1 billion on top of that.
Nor do we think that there are extra-dimensional demons plaguing us in 12 dimensions to deal with.
It's bad enough knowing that no one cares. It'd be terrible if tons of people did.
What if the futility of life applies to all those other dimensions, too? That's so much more
despondent
about.
It's just, it's exhausting.
So at this point in the episode, Alex has completely confused himself about this graph, purporting to show that other races think white people are bad. He's spiraling pretty hard. He's gone from knowing everything about this at first glance, his prejudice of knowing, I know exactly what this is showing. Now he has to, like, put it off because he has to study more before he covers this and gives his thoughts, which is kind of embarrassing. Also, Advil didn't say that black people feel more pain. They were part of something called the Pain Equity Project, spurred on by research carried out by Morehouse School of Medicine, that found, according to an article in Fortune, quote, 93% of black individuals said pain has an impact on their day-to-day life, and furthermore, 83% said that they have had a negative experience when seeking help managing pain. This research suggested that there's an element of discrimination in the medical field in terms of diagnosing conditions related to pain, which is what the Advil campaign was centered around.
Sure.
Recognizing that pain exists and believing people when they say they're in pain.
Right.
Because Alex is racist and an idiot, this is reported as Advil claiming that black people feel more pain, so you should buy more Advil. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's cartoon shit.
Yeah. I imagine it's very difficult for Alex to actually, like, confront the concept that even the medical establishment is infected by the idea that black people are somehow inherently stronger or more capable of dealing with pain because of any number of racist myths throughout the United States history. That would fuck with your whole head.
It probably would.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to open cans.
No, which is weird because that would be such, for somebody who fucking hates the medical establishment, God, that's such a great way to criticize them. Right?
Well, you kind of have to lose a lot of other stuff that's really important to Alex in order to open that box.
It is tough. If you want to be on the side of right when you criticize people, you got to let go of a lot of the evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
So the rest of the show is special reports and such, and I don't particularly care about Russell Brand saying nice things about Alex.
Yeah.
And Eddie Bravo, I'm not that interested in either, honestly.
I do appreciate... See, again, this is just... It's just this show. You can't imagine any other ostensible news show just being watching it someday and then seeing, like, oh, Wolf Blitzer confused himself and then walked out.
Right. Wolf Blitzer was trying to get real racist with a graph and then said, whoops.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Even remove the racist... I mean, remove all political elements and just, like, a pure... This man was confused and then left. Mm. The end of story, you know?
I think the first headline about this would be Wolf Blitzer fired.
Yes.
Or taking time off or
something
like that.
So, goes to rehab. Something. Yeah.
I know. I mean, I don't know. I think in the context of, you know, one of our recent episodes, him screaming, end it.
Yeah.
You have this. It's just not a good time.
Yeah,
It's not a good time for him.
He does feel a lot like a zombie. There is that.
Maybe that's one of the models of demons.
Ooh.
Zombie model.
Zombie model. Which model would you go with? 28 Days Later zombie model? Would you go with fast zombies? What are you talking about here?
I have always been prone to the slow zombie.
You're a slow zombie guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like original Night of the Living Dead.
I think fast zombies are too scary.
I agree with you.
Not as scary as a skeleton with a hat on. A fedora.
That's fair.
But
that's fair.
Still pretty scary.
I remember House on Haunted Hill. You know, Vincent Price, he had both a hat and a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Terrifying.
So, yeah, I don't know. Slow zombies, the way
sure.
to go.
Sure.
Lumbering around, maybe saying brains.
Naturally.
I think they should say brains.
They should say brains.
Yes. Shouldn't be able to say anything else.
They should say brains.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Am I writing this down?
Yes. This is my policy.
Are we planning a wedding right now?
So I don't know what to tell you other than Alex is thrilled that Putin got reelected. No suspicions there. Everything is good.
Yeah.
Fareed Zakaria is the mouthpiece of the globalists at the moment.
Sure.
And Alex didn't prepare very well.
You know, how many of these types of like news anchor type have we gone through over the years while Alex has been, you know, like
Fareed Zakaria, you mean?
Well, I mean, yeah, like
Stelter was definitely the mouth of the globalists
like,
for a bit.
Inflating these people who really are just go to work. You know, they're just on TV. They're not, they don't have power or they're not special. They're just on TV.
They have a modicum of power, but not nearly the level that Alex
is. Right, right, right.
But they need to in order for Alex to like tangle with them.
Yeah, it can't be because they can't just be job like because Alex can't compete with an Owen Schroyer, you know?
No.
So it can't be like, oh, Brian Seltzer just fucking works there
right.
as some guy.
Yeah.
You know,
no, he needs to be like in charge of some kind of grand conspiracy.
Yeah, totally.
He needs to be outsized in power. Therefore, it makes sense that I'm losing my shit screaming about it.
Right. Instead of being mad at Owen Schroyer telling other people what puppet things he says. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's so much. There is a pretty consistent just like, oh, You didn't know going in. Like, you didn't know what that Putin clip was before he played it.
Right.
He had no idea what to talk about this graph. He had no idea what absolute zero is. Like, all of these things were just like, I'm out.
Clock it. If you are at absolute zero and you're like, oh, they're trying to get rid of all the carbon, you're 5 years old. Like, that's the end of our conversation. What do you mean they're trying to get rid of all the carbon?
Get it out.
Go away. Mm. Please go away. Go back to school. Go talk to an uncle who knows things. Whichever uncle you're talking to, wrong one.
I hate carbon so much, I want my soda flat. No carbonation. All right? I don't want football players to go to the carbines. Is that? No, combines.
Yes, I saw where you were going.
Yeah.
I saw where you were going, and I wasn't going to stop you, but you weren't going to happy. You weren't going to be happy with where
word
you were
going. Wordplay got out of hand.
Yeah, yep.
So anyway, we'll be back.
out-of-hand wordplay.
Yeah, another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Blue Sky.
We are on Blue Sky as Knowledge Fight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. Forgot to come up with something to scat again. Bloodbath.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.